Okay, the Bible says there in Matthew chapter 14, beginning from verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up in a mountain apart to pray, and the evening was come, and he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch for the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." You may be seated. In the context of this passage, Jesus just leaves a multitude after feeding 5,000 men alone. Now imagine that. A great miracle performed amongst a multitude, feeding 5,000 men with a little of provision. You know the story, I won't go into that. Now he commands his disciples to go into a ship and to go on the other side while he takes time to get alone with God the Father. And that's a very good idea for some of us, amen? Especially after Easter services like this, that we're busy serving, busy coming, busy entreating people. After sowing some seed, it's good at some times to get away and spend some time with God. And what a wonderful thing it is to do that in a very special way, that we could go and be set apart and spend some time with God. Now, this time the ship begins to shake, and the ship begins to be in trouble as the wind gets stronger and the storm comes their way. And Jesus comes after his time with the Lord, and he comes to the disciples, and they look and they see, and they say, "Oh, it's a spirit." And they realize it was Jesus because he was walking on the sea. It had been the first time perhaps they see something like that. And Jesus approaches them and he says, "Be of good cheer." In other words, have courage. "It's I." As a matter of fact, you can have courage when Jesus is near. There's no doubt about that. When you know it's Jesus, when you know God is near, you can have courage. And you don't have to fear, and you don't have to worry, and you don't have to fret. And you can almost hear those words when you're in a time of trouble. "It's okay. I'm here." It's a wonderful thing to have Jesus near. And so he comes near, and Peter looks at him at this stage, and he says, "If it's truly you, Lord, bid me to come." And we see, I just want to use this example as a step of faith. Now, this would have been a step of faith in a sense that it would have been first time for Peter to do something like this. Can you imagine with me an impossible situation? And a situation perhaps that he's never been through before. It was beyond his control, of course. It was beyond his power, his ability and capability. So of course it would have been a step of faith. It would have been a time that the waters would never have been tested, if you would. Unfamiliar territory. Something that he's never done before. It was a time in his life where his faith really would have had been stretched. Fully relying on God. Not that he didn't have to fully rely on God before. Of course, any situation at any time, we need to fully rely on God. But it would have been a stretching of a faith, if you would. A moving forward, a time to just to simply rely on God even in the greater way and more. An impossible situation at times does that, doesn't it? Times, trials, testing times, times where you hear God's voice very clearly wanting to do something that you've never done before, and you look at your finances, or perhaps you look at your circumstances and you think, how's this going to be done? But you know God wants you to move forward and step out. And so it's a step of faith. Step of faith because you've never been there before. You've never attempted this. You've never walked on this path before. And so it could be a time in your life right now. I'm not going to say here tonight that you're going to start walking on water. That was that dispensation. That was the time of Christ. We live in a different dispensation in the church age. So I'm not saying go out on a boat and start testing God and walk on water. No, but I'm just saying to you that if you clearly hear God's voice in a situation of your life which you're going through today, and you know that God wants you to do something and you're adamant and you're sure, and if you haven't come to that time yet and you would you step out by faith and do that which God's called you to do? Now, it could be a something as little or something that's big. I know some ladies that were discipling at Faith Baptist Church, and we said to them, would you like, you know, give your testimony before some people? It's good so we know you, for you to get in the fellowship, get to know who you are, and at the same time you can encourage people. And they were fearful. They said, Charlie, we've never done this before. How are we going to do it? I said, well, number one, think about this. It's a time to be a blessing for others. It's a time to boast about your God, and it's a time to trust God. And I said, think about that. That's what I always do when I have to get up and step out by faith. I'm saying, I need to get up and trust God because I know God wants me to do this. And when you think about it's about Him, it becomes easier. And so they got up and they gave their testimonies. Wonderful. And I use them as an example. It's something as little as that, they stepped out by faith to please God. Something just as little as that. Now, there's something perhaps in your life, could be something as little as that or something even greater that God wants you to do. I don't know what it is. It could be perhaps God knows He puts a desire in your heart to get married, and that you've had some relationships in the past and they haven't worked out, and you've befriended someone and you've gone through the time of getting to know one another, but then you find out something in that person's life that you never knew, and you had to cut it off because your spiritual authority, your parents said, if you're going to continue with this, you're going to get yourself in trouble. It's good to cut it off, and you're down and out. And you can't, and it takes time to heal and trust. And perhaps God sends someone your way and says, okay, well, you know, I want to wake you up at this time. This is God's will for your life. And you know, but you're fearful. You're fearful because you're perhaps wondering if that hurt will come back. You're fearful about trusting again. I don't know what it is. Could be something else like going to Bible college. God's called you to go to Bible college, and you know for sure that this is what God wants you to do. I know when God called me to go to Bible college, I said, no, it's not for me. I'm the missionary's helper. Lord, you don't understand what kind of person I was in school. As a matter of fact, I was in school, but I wasn't in school. You know, and to get up in front of people and talk, forget about it. I remember one time, and it was a history course, I think. It would have been history. We had to do a lecture or a presentation, and everyone had to take their time. In every class, I think they chose about three per class at a certain term, that everyone had to work on something and then present their speech. And came up to me. He said, you want to get up? I said, no, I can't do it. He says, well, you can get up and turn your back in front of the class. I said, you're just making it worse. I'm not going to do it. And they said, oh, if you're not going to do it, you're going to get zero. I'm sorry. I said, give me zero. I'm happy with that. And so I just couldn't do it. And there was no way in the world that I was going to just do something that I just couldn't do. I just couldn't stand in front of people and give this speech and this talk, and I just couldn't do it. And so when God called me to go out and to be a preacher, I knew God wanted me to be a preacher, no doubt of that. He called me to go to study and that. I said, no, it's not for me. I'm just happy to be a missionary's helper. I'm happy to continue to clean toilets and further the gospel in any way I can. I'm happy just to serve this way. Well, anyway, God said, well, you're going to have to step out by faith. And He had used some things in my life to get me to that point. But I don't know what it is in your life. I don't know. But it's something that God is pinpointing. And you know this is what He wants you to do. It's clear. You got the green light. You ask yourself in this circumstances, how did Peter get the green light? Well, anyway, how did he know it was God's will for him to step out? First of all, he had a desire. It was an overwhelming desire to be with Christ. Notice in verse 28, and Peter said, answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, I don't want to make something that's not already there in the Bible. I'm very careful to do that, especially in passages of scriptures like this. I'm not going to go and look at this and make something out of it that's not there, but I can see in this passage of scripture that's very clear that he wanted to be with Christ. If that was Christ, what he wanted to do is be where Christ was. And so he said, Lord, bid me to come. Well, this overwhelming desire and this delight that he wanted to be with Jesus was evident in his life. And we spoke about that this morning. Is there an overwhelming desire or delight for you to be with Jesus? You know, is that what you want in your life? And it's not just taking a step of faith just because I want God to do something in my life. That's great. God want to take care of my fears and God does want to do that. But it's the simple fact that I want to be with Jesus. Lord, bid me to come. Bid me to come. If that's you, let me be with you. And look, listen, when you delight yourself in the Lord, you reach to a point in your life where Psalm 23 becomes a reality in your life, where Jesus is your shepherd and he leadeth you by the still waters and you want him to continue to lead you and guide you. You just want to be where Jesus is. He just wanted to be with Jesus. Lord, if that's really you, bid me to come. Bid me to come to you. An overwhelming desire to be where God wants him to be. Romans, I didn't touch this morning, but I want to touch on it tonight. Romans chapter 12, beginning from verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, notice this word, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may what? Test or prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. A surrendered vessel. A surrendered vessel in God's hands. Again, you cannot bypass Jesus Christ in order for you to take steps of faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Step by step, God reveals to us his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The just shall live by faith. And it's not just faith, but it's faith in Jesus. Being where Jesus is a good start. The disciples, when Jesus called them, in the book of Mark, in chapter 3, in verse 13, it says, And he goeth up to into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, notice verse 14, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him. And then he sent them forth to preach. So it's a call to be with him. It's a call to be with Jesus. That's a good start. Having a desire to step out by faith to do that which God's called you to do needs to first be a desire to be with Jesus so he can send you out, or he could touch your heart about something, and he could actually give you the go-ahead about whatever you're praying for. Now, Philippians chapter 2, beginning from verse 13, says, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The will is to have in mind, or to intend, to purpose, or to have a desire. And that desire, or the will, comes from God. God gives us that will to do his perfect will. So evidently, in order for us to have that, we need to have God working in our lives. So we need to be a surrendered vessel in God's hand. We need to be having a great desire to be with Jesus and be where he wants us to be. Now, many of us might struggle with the thought about, is this desire from him or is this from me? Is this something I really want to do? Is this something I really want to take steps of faith to be where he wants me to be, or to act upon certain things that I'm probably fearful of doing? Or is this something that, you know, he's laid on my heart to do? I sometimes struggle with that. But then I think to myself, if it is heavenly and biblical and something perhaps contrary to the flesh, I think, where could that desire come from? You know, sometimes I need to stop and think, well, I couldn't think that up. And if God put that thing there, which is acceptable, holy, wholesome, and good, and I know it's from the voice of God, I know it's from the Word of God, then it's got to be of the Lord. And so I want to take some steps in moving forward. But let me just ask some questions. Are you walking in the fear of the Lord? I mean, that's a good way to know whether this desire is pure from the Lord, if I know that I'm walking in the fear of God. And walking in the fear of God is to be in God's service, or to be at God's feet and to be His servant, and saying, Lord, I'm willing to do what You want, when You want it, whenever You want it. Little things, big things. It was amazing to me that He could just tell His disciples, get in the ship and go, and they'll go. Just simple things, little things that God will pinpoint in your life. Like we said today, the very seen, clear seen will of God in the Bible that God will point out. Are you living in the fear of the Lord? Are you fearful in displeasing God? Are you tender in wanting to please God? Okay? Have you truly put this desire, whatever God has laid on your heart, before the Lord? And I'm talking about perhaps big decisions in your life that you've made. Has it really been put before the Lord? The Bible says in Proverbs 21 and verse 2, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. And what I'm saying to you tonight is, let God ponder your heart. Allow God to say, search me, look, see, is this of me or is this of you? I really want to please you, Lord, with this. I don't want to make steps in life or decisions in life, especially if they're decisions that will change my course of life, if it's not from you. I don't want to make any hasty decisions in my life if they're not clear, green light, God-given direction, God's given voice. Now, Peter heard it. Peter heard his voice. And notice in verse 28, and Peter said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And now verse 29, and he said, what? What did he say? What did Jesus say? Come. Look, I've said all that I said just to make sure that you hear it. Just to make sure that it's God telling you, go. God telling you, come. Man, there's some things in our lives that we can't afford to get wrong. I know we can be forgiven, I know we can fall, we get up again and we go, but there's some decisions that can change the course of our lives. And rather going through the wilderness, we can go and say, well, I want to make sure that this is of God. I need to know that this is the will of God in order for me to step. He hears it. He says, come. Come. So whatever it is that God's called you to do you know for sure? Question. That it is God's voice. Not an audible voice, but God's Holy Spirit through His Word. God ministering to you in different ways to get you to a point where He hears you, says, yes, I want you to go. You say, I never hear that. I never have the issue. Well, it's good to get close to God to hear Him. It's a wonderful thing. When God puts something in your heart and you know it's from God. It's funny, when God confirmed Newcastle, it's all of a sudden I was praying to know whether it was God's will, I was excited, I wanted to go, and we're praying and fasting and praying. And when you hear the clear voice of God who wants you to go, you kind of say, uh-oh, now I need a step. That's how God works. It's almost like He gets you to a point where you're closely knitted to Him, and He lets you know that, yes, this is my will, and now you got to step out by faith. But do you know for sure it's God's will for your life? You say, no, I don't. What's the best thing to do? Wait. Pray. Fast. Oh, you don't want to step without God's green light. You don't want to step without God. Look, you don't want to get married on, it feels right. Listen, you don't want to get married because this is what I always wanted to do, and I just wanted to fulfill my dream. I just wanted to do it. You don't just get married for the sake of getting married because that's what you wanted to do and you just go ahead and marry anyone, because don't do that. Continue to wait on the Lord. So how long do I have to wait until you hear it? Still continue to do what God wants you to do biblically. Stay right, true, focused on Him. More focused about getting closer to His heart. And God will unfold things in your life. God will make things to come to pass in His time, if He desires that for your life. And that's why I need to be in tune to God to see whether this is His will for my life. I don't want to step outside of God's will. I sure don't have a better way. Our way fails. His way is the best. Our way crumbles, but His way never fails. And so you want to make sure that you're not stepping, okay, on the water which God doesn't want you to step on. You got to hear His voice. Abraham, when he heard it, get thee out, guess what he did? He went out. He went out. Abraham sacrificed his family, his kindred. He went out. He got him out of a comfort zone, and he just basically went out and trusted the Lord. Why? Because he heard God's voice say, go. Now, before I continue, I want to let you know just a couple of misconceptions. Sometimes we think that if everything's going smooth, everything's going well, it's got to be of God. And let me say this, sometimes it is. Of course, when you know it's God's will from His Word, He's confirmed it with His heart, you're walking with God, yes. But not all the time. If you hear God's voice and God wants you to do something, it's not always the case that perhaps things go, smooth sailing. Maybe a few storms will come your way. And the other misconception, if it's not going handy and it's not going all good and things begin to go wrong, then it can't be God's will. That's another misconception. Hey, listen, at the end of the day, it was God's will for Nehemiah to go and build the wall of Jerusalem, wasn't it not? Now, you tell me how many opposition came. Now, he could have come to the point of his life when Sambalot and Tobiah had even opened their mouth and said, what are you doing? With what finances are you going to do this? I mean, how are you going to provide? I mean, it's all rust, it's all rubble, and how are you going to do this? And they kept on coming, and the enemy kept on coming and coming and coming. Nehemiah couldn't throw his hand in the air and said, yeah, you're right, let's just go home. Let's just pack it up and let's finish. No. What did he do? Well, he remembered the Lord. He remembered that the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord, came to him in order for him to go. So he kept on going. He kept on building. He stayed on the wall. And what I'm saying to you tonight, you need to hear it from God. It needs to be a call from God. It needs to be a voice from God. You need to know for sure that this is what God wants you to do. And once you hear it, you step and you go. The apostles, the same thing. The Bible says in Acts 5 verse 20, it says, God says, go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And guess what happened? Oppositions came. And the rulers came and the government came and they wanted to stop their mouths because they were preaching in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of them stands up and he says, you need to be careful. Let me paraphrase for the sake of time. You need to be careful. Because if this is of God, then back off. Because we know what happened to some men before. If this be of God, you will find yourself only fighting against God. If it be of men, then it will fail. We need to know for sure that it's of God. 100% we need to know it's the voice of God. When we're stepping on water, if you would, when we're stepping out by faith, I'm not stepping on just water. What is the Christian stepping on when he goes out? Come. I'm stepping out. When I step out by faith, I don't step out on a blind faith. I step out on His word, come. And it starts by the revealed word, what we said today. When you start taking some steps in growth in your Christian life, when God starts revealing some things to you and God wants you to do something, He wants you to get some things out, you're stepping by faith. You say, yes, Lord. And you're stepping on His word and you say yes and you say yes and you say yes. How is God ever going to reveal to you the unseen will of God and God stretched your faith to do a great work not only in you but through you if you're not even stepping on the things that are revealed in His word? But the point is, when we step, we're not stepping on anything. We're stepping on God's word. We're stepping on His word. Look, let me say, we're stepping on a good foundation because God's word doesn't falter. God's word is true. It can be depended upon. You can count on it. Like I said last time, God is a God of His word. God keeps His promises. God doesn't break His promises. And if you hear the green light of God's word to go, guess what? Go. Step out in God's word. Now, look at verse 30. Peter begins to look around at this time. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. That word boisterous there is forcible or strong or mighty. He saw the winds, forcible, strong and mighty. Notice what Jesus says. Wherefore didst thou doubt? Where was the point you doubted? And let me say, when you look around, when you take your eyes off God, or when you forget the word of the Lord, and you forget who called you, and you forget the voice of God, that you heard it, that this is what God wants you to do. Let me say, like we heard in the singing, and the exhortation which James had mentioned today, you begin to doubt. Doubt and fear begins to settle in when you not in the word, when you don't remember God calling you out, when you look away and you look at the circumstances of life and you take your eyes off Jesus, you begin to doubt. Fear sets in. And now fear grips you. You look at the circumstances and you think to yourself, man, this is just too hard. There's no way in the world we're able to fight against this. The winds are just too strong. And my life is just going to be taken away if I continue living like this. What? Living like faith? Praise God. Faith in who? Faith in the Lord. But when we take our eyes off Christ and we look at the circumstances of life, we begin to fear. We begin to sink. We begin to make decisions now that perhaps are manipulative. We begin to take the reins, pushing buttons, trying to make things work our own way. And this, we begin to sink. Has fear ever gripped your heart? When you look around and you sink, and you think to yourself, this is just too hard. It's too tough. Has God called you to do it? Hear God's voice. I remember the time when I was struggling with going to Newcastle. I was struggling. To the point where I knew God called me to go. And I was all fired up and wanted to go as a pattern. Reached to the point of my life where perhaps looking at the circumstances of life, and I thought to myself, I'm going to a place where it's not that multicultural. There's going to be more Australian people here than what you find in Sydney. In Sydney, you go one part of the area and you're in Beirut. You go to another part of the area and you're in China. You go to another part of the area and you're in Italy. Another part of the area and you're in Greece. Seriously. It seems to me that there's one big part of the area that you're in Lebanon. Not only in Beirut. The whole country. You're going to a place where mostly they're all Australian people. What are you going to do there? And then praise God, during this time where I was wrestling and fighting, God leads me to a man, 73-year-old, named Bob, on the street. And this man, cut a long story short, received Christ as his Saviour after several months, 4 or 5 months later. And his testimony, he'd wave his hands in the air and he would say, for 73 years, I rejected God. And here I'm on the phone, he's talking to me, and he said, Charlie, I came, well, I had a prison visit, and there were other people on the street, and he says, where were you? I came looking for you. I said, why? He goes, well, I'm wondering what my next step is. Went through the gospel again, told him what he needed to do. So I could do that. Told him, you need to get in the room, get down on your knees and call upon the name of the Lord. Do you understand that you're a sinner? And he says, yes. Do you understand that you need a Savior? He said, yes. And so you need to get in your room and get down on your knees and cry out to God. He says, I could do that. And we see Bob, first time visiting church after a month, he'd sit in his pew and cry from the beginning of the service to the end of the service. I say, Bob, what's the matter? And he would say to me, he said, for 73 years, this is what I've been missing out on. And here's a man, they say, when you get older, you get set in your ways. An old Australian man that God gave me the privilege to help him find Jesus. So, wow, thank you, Lord, for that. Another one was a nursing home not long ago. We went to this nursing home for several months. And there was one lady there that always come. This lady couldn't talk, but she could hear well, and her eyes were, be able to follow you where you'd go. And so you knew that she was paying attention. You knew that she was listening. And she would lie back like that and just look. And anyway, we got Bob at this time to give his testimony. Bob gave his testimony, preached the message. I kind of saw that this lady was very attentive to the word. And so I went to her. And I said to her, ma'am, have you ever heard this wonderful news? She goes, I said, did you understand what you heard? I said, I don't normally would want to, invite them in a very personal way, but I just said it. She couldn't talk. I said, would you like to come to Jesus? That was the very first time I prayed and said, well, you pray something like this. But I have no doubt that she could have believed as we were preaching. You know, it's a touch of faith that saves. Faith with all your heart. But there needs to become a time where you can actually confess and believe and make it public. That's fine. But I said to her, I bowed my head and prayed. She gripped my hand and we prayed together. And it was a wonderful sight. And then walked right around. This other lady was really staring at us. And so I walked right around and said, what about you, ma'am? Have you heard this message before? She said, yes. I said, have you ever received Christ as your Savior? She said, yes. I said, when was that? She goes, just then. I just heard what just took place and I prayed. Now, I don't know the hearts. God knows the heart. But when you see something like that, you can't help but rejoice. We tend to say sometimes, was it genuine? Was it real? But I don't know. God knows. I'll tell you something. It was a joy for me at that time just to hear a couple of old ladies make a profession and trust the Lord. Only God knows whether it was genuine. God knows it was from the heart. I don't really know. But what I'm trying to say to you is this. God was communicating, saying to me, Charlie, quit it. You're just the vessel that I'm using. You are nothing, and it's the word of God that saves people. I said, Lord, I'm not arguing with that. I'm going to go. And it is. I'm just there to proclaim the voice of the Lord. Whether it comes from mare or donkey or whatever, it's the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is powerful. But I struggled with it. I looked at the circumstances. Instead of hearing the call, I knew God wanted me to go. When you look back and you see what God has done, Peter, look back a little and see how God furnished the table in the wilderness and see how God fed the 5,000 men, just men alone. When you look back, you'd get encouraged. Just look back and remember the time God says, go. God says, come. Remember the time where you heard a clear calling and God wanted to do something. Listen. That's what you stand upon. You need to take your eyes off the circumstances and put them back on the word of God and God himself. Looking unto Jesus, the author, notice, and the finisher of our faith. There's no one in this room that says, oh, I don't doubt. I don't get down and out. I wonder, did I do a mistake? Has that ever come to your mind? You know, ladies perhaps will think to themselves, I said no to this man, he asked me to, and they wonder and they think, did I make the right decision or just saying to this man, no? Let me tell you something, you'll never make the wrong decision when you know it's from the Lord. And that's what you can stand upon. We need to focus on the Lord, focus on his word. We need to hear his voice. Else, fear may grip our hearts and cripple us from doing that which God calls us to do, and we find ourselves sinking. So what happens when you find yourself sinking? You say, Charlie, have you sunk in doubt before and fear? Absolutely. Well, say, what do? Just do what Peter does. Lord, help me. Help me. And he does. Immediately. That's one thing great about our God. Oh, Peter, you've failed, you're a failure. Stay down. No. That's what the world does. That's what Satan does. That's what perhaps other people may do, but not the Lord. He'll reach you and pull you up from that drowning situation. He said, save me physically. He wasn't spiritually in danger at that time. He was physically in danger. He was drowning. Lord! Help me. Just man falls 7 times, but he gets up again. How? The Lord. Just cry out by faith and say, God, help me. Where was the point you doubted? Well, the point I looked around and I forgot. But now I remember you want me to be where you want me to be. And that's, my friend, that was going to keep us going. That's when we can say, well, I don't have no doubt about this situation or this decision. I know this is where God wants me to be. Many a times we have doubt because it gets tough. Many a times we have doubt because things are not going the way we thought they would. You go because God's called you to go. You make decisions because you know they're from the Lord. They're the safest decision that you can ever make. Why? Because you can look back and say, I know this is where God wants me to be. Cry out. He'll pull you out. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. Just depend upon Him. Just trust Him. You say, well, sometimes I've been in drowning situations and I've cried out and it's like I've heard a silence of God. That tends to happen sometimes. Doesn't mean He's not there. He's there. And He's working. That's if you're in the will of God. That's if you're in tune with God. You're fearing God. Because I'm going to let you know something. God is not only working in you, through you and around you. God wants to work in you. He wants to strengthen you. So many a times you say, Lord, okay, I understand. Don't take the problem away. But please give me the grace and strengthen my shoulders. Please help me that I may continue to be bold as a lion, because I can't have my head down like this. I'm not useful like this. Revive me again, Lord. If it's not the discouragement of the world or others, it can be simply discouragement of fear and doubt in your own life. But God, even then, can pull you out. You say, how? Remembering, He said, come. I'm stepping on the fact that God wants me to do what He's called me to do. And that is what I'm stepping on. The Word of God. Now, I want to encourage you tonight in closing. What is it that you know in your life God wants you to do something and you haven't yet done it? And it's clear. Try to think about it and say, I'm going to step and trust the Lord and I'm going to do it. And what is it? What is it that you know that God has called you to do something? And it could be a big step, leaving a certain place to go to another place, leaving family, whatever it is. leaving your job, your career for Bible college, whatever it is, and you know that it was the voice of God, and you've gone through it, but now you're in doubt and you're not effective because you're in doubt and wondering and fear's got your heart. If that's you tonight, I wonder, tonight you'd say, Lord, help me. And He will. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you're someone here saying, well, I want to get in tune with God. I want to start a strong walk with God. I want God to do great and mighty things in, through, and around me. And I want to take that step in walking closer to God. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you a moment to think on that. I was going through this message probably a month prior coming to Newcastle. And I went through it again and I just remembered that the reality of the hardship, the reality of what's been happening in the enemy of Sambalot and Tobiah and different things and different voices perhaps sometimes bring a voice of doubt. I wonder. But then I remember Jesus said go. I don't know what you're going through tonight. But you say somewhere along the message tonight, God spoke to me. And it's tonight I want to make a decision that will impact my future. And if that's true in your life, I want to give you a moment right now to pray and to call upon the name of the Lord in that way. And I'll get Brother James to come and close. I just want to give you a moment, a couple of minutes, to think about somewhere God spoke to you that you would say, Lord, you do what you want to do in my life. May God give you the whole courage and the Holy Spirit and the boldness to continue to stay true to your decision, not only for a week, a month, or for a year, but until Jesus comes again, or to the day you die. One decision tonight, whether it's a little step leading up to greater steps, or whether it's a great step that you're taking, or one that you've already taken, and you're wondering, doubt, fear, whatever it is, give you a moment to spend some time with the Lord right now. Maybe you need to cry out tonight with all your heart, Lord! And He can pick you up. Say, maybe I've done a decision that was against God's will. Well, God's able to forgive, restore you, and set your foot upon that path again, and that you can learn from it, get out of the wilderness, and continue to go forward with God. I don't know what your circumstances here tonight, but I know God can use it as a stepping stone to move forward with Him and with what He wants to do in your life, in you, through you, and around you for His glory.